Oh, here it is. Do you want to read that?
Oh my gosh.
Into the mic though. Here. Into your mic. Your face was very close to my face just then.
Hello and welcome to Helvetic, a podcast. Helvetic is a podcast we created to help creators create creations that honor the creator creatively.
And I am David.
And I am Joe.
It's been a while, Joe.
Clearly, we've got this down. You know, it's weird. It's just like riding a tennis shoe.
This is the part. What? No, it's like falling off a bike. You never really forget it.
It's true. It's easy to fall off a bike, even without practice.
And I remember all of those times.
And the times I pushed him off a bike.
Joe, this is the part where you ask me about follow-up.
Hey, so...
You should move your mic. You're not going to talk into it naturally.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to like angle this sort of thing. You know, what would a Helvetic episode be without Joe being admonished to talk into his mic?
I don't know if I'd go with admonished.
Reprimanded?
Yeah.
Adjured. Anyway... So do we have any feedback from last episode that it seems like it just seems like it was yesterday. If yesterday was 3 months ago,
that episode went out at the beginning of May, I believe. So, any follow up? Well, so that was our regulative principle episode. I felt really bad ending on that note. Cause it was just like, I liked the episode. I thought it was all right. It wasn't our best episode, but I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
I hate that that's like, if you were to come to HelveticaWebsite.com and be like, oh, look, a podcast for designers. Like, that's the first episode you would probably listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. The most recent one, which is super duper about design.
I don't remember any of the follow-up. I think there was a little bit of good discussion in the Helvetic Slack channel on the Tech Reformation Slack. You can go there by going to Tech Reformation is a podcast about technology and reform theology, or theology in general too. They have a Slack channel. No, they have channels within the Slack.
They have a Slack instance.
They have an instance.
It's close enough.
They instantiated a Slack, and that's what I call putting on my pants. Just a second. I have to never mind.
Sometimes he only wears one leg of his pants. Therefore, it was a slack.
I put my pants on both legs at the same time. I'm not like you at all.
Like the rest of us.
They have a Slack group that you can connect with. They graciously provided us with a channel on there. You can get there by going to slack.techreformation.com, get an invite, and join them. They've got some pretty cool stuff going on right now.
Yeah. And the channel is #Helvetic.
But anyway, so this is the follow-up section. And basically, we're calling this Season 3, Episode 1. And seasons are demarcated by us falling off the map and then reappearing.
Whee!
Sort of like Atlantis, minus the reappearing.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that. Like if you had a video of Atlantis and then you ran that video backwards.
Yes.
And then you ran it forward again.
Yes.
And then backwards again.
There's a joke in here about Michael J. Fox, but I'm not going to make it.
I'm not sure where you're going. It's probably the best.
He's in the movie, the Disney Atlantis movie.
What?
He plays in the animated Disney Atlantis movie, he plays Milo.
Really?
I can't believe I'm remembering all of this, but yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, you just did a movie reference that I didn't get.
It wasn't a good movie.
What the?
Anyway, let's explain to our listeners... the three of them that remain.
Hey, listener. Hi, Mom.
Why we were AWOL.
Oh, yeah. So we both had some...
Life-changing?
Some life-changing events going on. I had, my wife had our seventh child. So we have a new daughter. Her name is Genevieve Joy, and she's a beautiful little girl, and she's currently about a month old, a little over a month old, and doing great. So... That was a big change for us. In the lead up to that, there were some other health things that came up with my family and whatnot that were kind of all consuming. So that was my part of why we weren't available.
And right around the same time, my wife and I, we moved. And we kind of took a long time moving. Rather than have one big move-in day, we just dragged it out as long as possible. It's like you could have a root canal with anesthesia and have it take like, what, half an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could skip the painkiller.
Yeah.
And, you know, get somebody who's not experienced in there and really, really sanctify those teeth.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, the way you would do it is you would every day go in for just a little bit more of the root canal.
At 2:30. Get it tooth hurt. Okay.
Wait. Oh,
And then your employer is like, you can't have a dentist appointment every day. Oh, yes, I can. All right. So yeah, that's what's been going on. We do apologize. We should have been more on top of like explaining. I think both of us were secretly hoping that it would just be like one more week and then we would record an episode until Joe left. And then it was kind of, we left it as an understanding that I was going to find a couple of guests and record. And that's when we, at the last minute, decided to move. And it's been crazy. But the moral of the story is you should just plan season breaks.
Yeah, they're going to happen. So probably be best to have this a little bit more planned out.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but we're back and we're going to be recording some.
Yeah, we're planning on going back to the every other week, but then we might have something special in store for you, fam.
There may be a fire hose of content.
Yeah.
There may not.
The burning house is in a state of anxiety right now.
That's why we're kind of vague booking at this point. We're like, you know, just...
Bare minimum, you're getting
so
a Dalmatian.
Angry. And then see what people react to it.
Bare minimum, you're going to get a Dalmatian of content.
Yeah. And if David and
Spotty
his wife
best.
Get themselves a Dalmatian, then they know exactly what I'm going through. You know, because I have 7 kids.
Having a dog is basically like having a kid, I hear.
Yeah.
That's what everybody my age thinks.
Basically the same.
No, my children are my my computers.
Okay, that's worse.
I know. I don't know. Have you seen the problems I've been having with my work computer? There's a lot of poop everywhere. Anyway, so Joe, what's our? I'm not going to ask you what our topic is.
Don't ask me because you would probably be better at answering.
Our topic is pretty vague.
Yeah. So in fact, yes, I can do the topic. The topic is, you know, we're going to talk about some stuff, and
so S1 E1. As Joe would say, season 1, episode 1, our first ever episode, we made that episode essentially about the fact that I was moving at the time from a MacBook Pro to a Mac Pro from 2009 with 12 cores.
How many cores?
12.
Nice.
24 virtual.
Yeah. Boom.
That's, and I was switching to an iPad Pro for anything mobile. And we had some really interesting conversations about like what you can and cannot do when you rock. It was a Reliant K reference.
Yeah.
We had some really interesting conversation about what you can and cannot do on iOS and what defines a computer. And what I have, when I made that switch, I was really thinking that like...
That wasn't Reliant K, that was John Rubin. What the heck? Do not tell me what I can or cannot do when I rock.
Did Reliant K cover it? They covered a lot of stuff.
They may have covered it, but that's John Rubin, my friend.
All right, I give up.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know music. I also don't know
things.
Music.
I gave him a ride to his new apartment here and we listened to his favorite song on the way. Nothing.
It's pretty great. Except Joe kept talking over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is my favorite part.
The part where you're not talking. So good.
Oh, that's what our listeners keep writing in too about.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're like, hey, I like the thing where you're not recording episodes because Joe's not talking, but maybe you could talk.
Okay, so season 1, episode 1, Mr. McCookie got himself an iPad Pro and a Mac Pro and sold his MacBook Pro.
And a lot of the conversation that we were having around that revolved around like, what is a computer? I think I said that already, but the idea of like, a lot of people think that a computer is something that runs, you know, binary x86 64 applications, and that's starting to become less and less true. And you've got podcasts like Cortex and Canvas where they're talking about productivity on iPads. And so I kind of jumped as far into that as I could and I was really counting on Apple to do some stuff that they haven't done.
Right.
They've done a lot of great stuff, and we can talk about iOS 11 maybe in a future episode. But essentially what I decided is the thing about my Mac Pro is that while it enabled me to do a lot of really cool things with my everydays and all of that, it was the kind of thing that I was beginning to use less and less because of compatibility issues and also just the fact that it is tied to a very specific physical location. And we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Our topic is just do stuff. And that's actually what the note that we ended S2E...
33
last. Well, that was, it was just
was our episode 32. Yeah. 32. We don't 30 second total episode, not episode that season.
Yeah. We ended that on a note of, hey, go out and make stuff.
Yep. And I think we both promised that we would go out and make something.
And,
Genevieve Joy Carter, I'd like to introduce you to her.
You sure made that. Yeah, that was in the works for a while though.
It's true.
And let's be honest, it mostly wasn't you.
Mostly wasn't me.
Anyway, this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about, so I made a gear decision recently to move to a laptop, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. The other thing was back in the beginning of the year, I started doing an everyday project where I started trying to make stuff specifically, especially to learn Cinema 4D and some of the plugins that I have for that.
Yeah. Just a little bit of a side note here too, is in right around season 2, episode 1-ish area, David also switched to Windows briefly.
Yeah, for about a week, I didn't quite make it. And part of that was because specifically in the 3D community, the software is just not as well supported. And I ended up just giving up on that because the software that I use is supported and I don't really need the other stuff. And I need Windows like I need another hole in my head.
Yes.
No offense to Windows users.
Or to head holes. But frankly, most people are born with enough. Anyway, go on.
it just wasn't working for me. A lot of this was an interesting discovery that I made when I tried to do that, but we're getting a little off topic. The discovery I made was for designers outside of 3D stuff, Mac OS is still a much better, in my opinion, ecosystem. And yeah. I don't do enough 3D stuff, especially stuff that I'm getting paid for, to make it worth the switch because the other areas of what I do suffered too much. But for somebody who does mostly 3D, Cinema 4D, I'm a part of a Cinema 4D Slack group, and they're always talking about how Mac OS just doesn't do it for them and they have to use Windows to get certain tools and various things working.
Yeah.
And they find me, I'm there the anomaly because I mostly use Photoshop. Like that's most of where I am, Photoshop or After Effects. And then I come over into Cinema 4D and do that sometimes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to talk about this concept of how important it is to push everything out of the way, like as a person, but also specifically as a creative. We can make a lot of excuses for ourselves, and some of those excuses can revolve around gear.
Right. Absolutely. No, that can be the gear thing can be a huge distraction, actually. So,
but there's kind of a line to walk there. Maybe this can be some of our conversation. While it is true that gear is not everything, it's also the case that if you really know what you're doing and you will start to run up against boundaries with your gear that only different gear can provide. And that's kind of where I was. And I'm actually using a slower all around setup by about 20% or so. But I'm doing more with it because I can take it with me places. I can sit on the couch and start on a piece and then bring it into into the office and plug it into my external GPU and do the render, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's part of like even some of the discussion that we were going to have here. And I don't know, we didn't formally like start the discussion, but this is the discussion. So just talk and we don't need to like getting ahead of ourselves thing.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Or hang on. Now we're talking.
I thought you had forgotten that back in S2E.
I stopped a while ago, but I know that he needs these marks to make sure to know where to start because he doesn't want to start in the middle of where like somebody's totally rambling about stuff that's irrelevant to the episode. Like, oh, dang it. Anyway, But yeah, this it's the same thing. I actually have my mom got me this.
Hi, mom.
Yeah, hi, mom. She probably will listen to this, but I have to kind of. Anyway,
my mom doesn't listen to.
My mom does, but she was listening to it on Facebook. So since we're not doing the Facebook Live thing, I'm going to probably have to be a little more directive of like, okay, here's a link to go to where you can listen to it. But my mom, for a combination of Christmas and birthday, got me a Wacom Intuos Pro 16-inch tablet. Biggest drawing tablet I've ever had in my life. An amazing device. I mean, it really is cool. It can connect to your computer via Bluetooth or through a wired connection. It actually can, you can actually draw on it while it's not connected to anything. And it will just, you can either save it as pages or layers and have, you know, save a drawing, like go to the park with it and actually draw with it at the park and then come back. You can also put a piece of paper on it and draw on the piece of paper with a special pen that they have, and it will save that. So it's pretty incredible what it's capable of doing. The problem that I've run into it or with it is that it's so big. And it's what I asked for. I asked for the larger one. It was is one of those things where actually had I gone and got it myself, I would have gotten the smaller one. And then she offered to do it and was willing to spend the more for the large one because I asked for the smaller one first. And she's like, well, wouldn't the large one be better? I said, sure. And much as you guys have found with the iPad Pro for your own personal use, the bigger one is amazing. It's got more space to work with. It's a better device for a professional. You know, if I had it at a desk in a professional type environment where I was doing that all day, every day, it would be the better device. But it's so big and bulky that I don't find myself taking it with me. It's too big.
Yeah.
And so just actually yesterday, David and I were talking and he was upgrading his iPad Pro, his 9.7 to a 10.5 and offered to sell me his 9.7. And I have some design work that's come through that I can make that work with. And so I decided to buy that, even though I've already got a better drawing tablet.
Right.
The Intuos Pro is a better drawing tablet, except it's too big and it doesn't have a screen that I can't see what's happening on there unless it's connected to a computer. So the setup to make that useful.
Not really coffee shop compatible.
It's not really coffee shop compatible, yeah.
And you have a family and a small house.
Yeah, family, small house, small kids. And what I was realizing is if I had that 9.7 iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil, I would have that with me all the time. And there would be times where I could just, you know, sit down, pull that out and start drawing with it. And
whether that's for a paid project or just a personal thing to improve as an artist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of like there's a book, and I know I've mentioned this several times on the podcast, but it's called The Best Camera. And the whole book was taken, I think all the pictures in it has a bunch of great pictures in it. And I think they were all taken with an iPhone 3GS, which as you can imagine, anyone that's into photography now knows that that's a pretty mediocre camera, but it was a guy who's a very skilled photographer. And his point with that is it's not the best camera by any stretch that you could get even at the time. And the book's probably, you know, it's from the era of that iPhone, but even then you could get much, much better digital cameras. But his point was you would have that camera with you. So it's the best camera because you have it. It's with you. And in this sense, that's why I think this iPad Pro is a good call for me, is because it's the best drawing tablet because I'll have it with me. Now, I'll have that other one around. I may end up selling it or something if I don't find that I'm using it at all. But if I do find a good workflow where I can use it, I'll have it around. But it's just not something I'm going to throw in my bag and have with me every day.
Yeah, I remember you had thrown it in your bag and you pulled it out and you had like this whole, you were taking up like a full table between your 17-inch MacBook and your tablet. Yeah, and actually I ended up switching from, and admittedly this is a poor comparison because I went from a digital SLR to a mirrorless camera that was better than the digital SLR, but I made the switch to mirrorless specifically because like kind of the idea of like, I just want to have this on me. Like I want to feel like I can just throw this in a lens in my bag and take it on a vacation, right, which I was never going to do with this full size. It wasn't like a 5D Mark III, but it was a large prosumer level digital SLR.
Yeah, it was a Nikon, what was it, 5300?
D7100. Even the 5000 series would have been a little bit smaller.
Well, yeah.
And so I ended up switching. And I think that there's this interesting problem that you can run into where your gear can almost be too good. And Casey Neistat talks about having gear that's treating it like it's too precious.
Yeah,
and
I love that expression.
That guy, he carries around, you know, like a $1,500 camera, and you know, he goes through, like, you know, if he goes through two of those in a month, it's like, oh, bummer.
Right.
But it does happen occasionally.
Oh yeah, no, I mean I've seen it where I was watching his stuff regularly, and I still watch his stuff. I still highly recommend it as far as if you're doing videography. He's quite gifted and quite skilled. But you would see that he would, you know, he's going, he's buying a new body. Well, the body that he would break was a $3,000 body. And then he'd have a problem with the lens, and the lens was a $1,700, $1,800 lens. And people would scream at him in the comments of the video about it. And he's like, he has replied a couple of times and basically said, if I have to be too careful with it, I know it's expensive. It's part of the cost of doing business for me. I'm basically saying, I make enough money on this that don't worry about that, but I'm not going to go buy these for you if I wasn't breaking them myself. It's part of the cost of doing business, and I have it handy, and things break because I'm using them all the time.
Right. And he wouldn't get the shots that he gets if he wasn't as careful. Now, you kind of have to decide, though. Like, I mean, if you're not Casey Neistat and you're not making the kind of money that he's making, you kind of have to decide, like, I could go out right now and spend $4,000 on a camera or wherever your budget is. Like, I could spend $2,000 on a camera, right? Or I could spend $500 on a camera that's a little bit worse and feel a little more comfortable taking it with me everywhere.
Right.
You know, you could get the one of the mirrorless cameras and a good lens for it and carry that around with you everywhere instead of getting something that's maybe even going to let you take superior pictures, superior video, whatever it is that you want. But are you going to have that with you? Is it too big? Is it too expensive? Is it too precious? What's actually better for you? Because ultimately what matters is, are you making stuff?
Right.
And that's what I was finding with my Mac Pro. It was great having 12 cores. It was 24 virtual cores. It was great having 32 gigs of RAM. I ended up downgrading RAM. The CPU is actually a little faster for single core, which has actually been really, it's been nice having that, like, double speed.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stuff is single threaded, like Audition. But that we're recording right now.
Right.
Yeah. But at the same, like, a lot of things are slower. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the 20% slower on certain things because I'm actually making more stuff. Although right now I'm not, because I'm moving. But I really do, like, I've taken on my lunch break. I'll grab my laptop, grab my lunch, head over to a little table area and do half of my everyday during lunch.
Yeah.
And then when I come home, it's just like finish polishing, plug it into the external GPU and hit render.
Yeah.
And that's been really nice. And you do more.
Yeah, and I've been seeing the fruit of that in your Facebook feed, where you can see the stuff that's coming out is actually it's significantly it's higher quality. It's not because the other machine couldn't have exported that quality. It's that you had the time to work on that polish
exactly
before you did your final export because you had the machine with you.
Yeah, you know? And the other thing is too, like, there's two sides to doing stuff. I mean, one is obviously if you don't make stuff, you don't get paid.
Right.
But then the other thing that I've been finding is, so back in December, I had a project where there was a lot of CG stuff. It wasn't required, but like that direction we decided to go in necessitated that a lot of this stuff be 3D. And I remember putting in all these hours and trying to get this stuff done. And we did similar compositions with a similar animation and everything. For our Christmas, that was our Christmas sale. This is our Christmas in July sale. We did similar stuff and it just took me so much less time, not because of the laptop, not because of the eGPU, none of that, but because over the last 6 months, I've been spending every day, almost every day. I've taken a lot of time off, but just having that there has forced me to several times a week be in the software, making stuff, you know, experimenting, learning how to cut corners that are cuttable without lowering quality, etc.
Right. Yeah.
And just there's the two sides. One is produce stuff so that stuff is produced, and the other is produce stuff so that you can produce future stuff.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's exactly. I think that's why I've stuck with a laptop for the last. I mean, for my own personal use, I haven't had a desktop computer in. Years in like 6 or 7 years, and part of that is because I live in a small house. I got lots of kids, and so if I want to go and be productive, I got to be able to take my computer and you know, sometimes I can find a spot to hide in the house, but more often than not, it's like, you know, we'll go run over to a nearby coffee shop and spend a couple bucks on liquid rent. So, you know, rent the space for a little while and get some work done. And if I had a desktop, or even like your setup, a desktop and an iPad, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to actually try, with this iPad Pro, trying to see how productive I can be with it and how close I can get to final product with it. Cause there's some really great software out there for graphic design for, I don't know if there's really any good software for, I've been looking for it. And by the way, I'd take input from anyone in our audience that has heard or has tried different, iPad software apps, as one calls them, as the kids call them these days.
Programs.
Apps.
Applications.
Anyway, for good software for someone who's trying to do something akin to Sketch.
So like vector.
Vector-based, yeah, stuff for logo and or interface design. I don't see much. There's quite a few vector-based programs, but I haven't yet found one that I think is really particularly great. I have a couple of them. And then trying to learn Procreate. Affinity Design or Affinity Photo came out. We were talking about that this week. The Affinity Photo came out for iPad, which is super exciting. And I missed it. I missed the deal on it. It was $20 and now it's $30. And that's a bit of a leap for me right now. But we'll see about getting that too. Anyway.
Yeah. So I think it's important in this discussion to kind of recognize it's really easy to dream about having the 5D Mark III or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But And that might be really, really good for you, depending on what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's important to be honest enough with yourself to say, would I actually use this thing? Is this something that I actually have the time, have the location, have the... Because I think that was part of it for me, was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be this guy who is able to just go into the office for a few hours. And you know, I admittedly, more than anyone, I probably can. I don't have kids at this point. But my job can be demanding in terms of my time. So that was part of the frustrating thing, was realizing that, you know, this is just the way that things go. And the world is changing too. Like, people just expect you to be able to show up and do work wherever.
Yes. Yes.
So, I think we can keep, do you want to keep this a short episode? Maybe button things up
Yeah, we could wrap it up. I think that'd be fine for this time. And like we said at the beginning, we are wanting to, yeah, in terms of doing something, making something, we are wanting to do that more with this podcast and with the content around it. We had some aspirations for that, and life's been a little crazy, but we're hoping to put out some more regular content.
And actually, why don't we go ahead and talk about this? Because this is a really, really... This topic hits home for our podcast, right? Because we have these, I mean, honestly, we have not spent very much on our recording rig. I mean, if you don't count the computer, which any computer could record, right?
Right.
We have two $10 microphones, a $15 boom arm, maybe a $20 mic stand, and a $100 mixer.
Yeah, it's about $40 here, but
okay.
And the mixer was $100, yeah.
Yeah, so we're coming in under $200 for this whole setup, and you could do it for less probably. We have the two channel mixer. We don't need a two channel mixer. We could get by without it. Anyway,
I think we're kind of the discussion of like. So where were you going with this?
Oh, but what that means though is, especially now that when we moved, we kind of downsized. We don't have as much room as we used to. I used to have the podcast stuff set up all the time, and Joe would come over. But like, making this podcast is actually a fairly decent amount of work. And we talked about like, what would it take to make a video? Oh, like at least double the work, because you have audio and you have video.
Yes.
And you'll notice that like, we're not, I mean, maybe you won't notice if you're listening to this on the podcast, which you must be, because we're not recording this live.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, there's an app out there now called Anchor, which is basically podcast from your iPhone, like Instagram for podcast, if you will. So we're talking about maybe once every other week we come in here, we do a nice, like solid, high production value recording of a deep topic. And then maybe like next week during lunch, Joe and I will go on a walk with my iPhone or whatever. And we will talk into that and record through Anchor a live episode on iOS 11, for example, and get some thoughts out on there, 25 minute episode. And then, there's no post-production that goes into that. It's literally like, we just take our lunch break to do that. And there you go. So we're talking about like, what is it, what can we do to actually be producing content, that is not, what barriers can we remove? And I think that's really what this is all about, is like the everyday for me was about removing the barrier of, I don't know what I'm doing. And the laptop for me was removing the barrier of, I need to be tied to a specific geographic location in order to do work. And for Joe, the barrier is the size of the tablet. I'm really, excited to see what you create. I think you should, you want to start an every day to learn Procreate?
I should.
Just like a 2 week every day.
No, I should do that. That's a good point. I'll do that. I'll make that commitment.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal because like literally during a boring meeting, I mean, during lunch.
No, only during lunch. Off the clock.
You can pull that out. And well, that was the other interesting thing is I listened to an interview with Beeple. We've talked about Beeple on here before.
Yeah.
And he was talking about like how, like that guy, I might've mentioned this before on a previous episode. It's been a while. But he was talking about how he's literally every single day manage to create something for that day. He doesn't buffer things out into the future. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. And this has been for like 5, 6, 7, some crazy number of years.
That's nuts.
And that somebody really was like, wow. how do you find time for that? He says, well, like not all renders are created equally. Like sometimes it literally is like, I just threw some textures on a cube, played around with lighting for 10 minutes and hit render. Like, because that's all the time that I had that day. But like everybody has 10 minutes. Like you can use the bathroom tomorrow. Like you have 10 minutes. that's actually literally that's what he said, but
not how that works.
Not those words. it was an irregular expression. But that was kind of his point is like, even if you just take the 10 minutes and make something real quick. And actually, when I encourage people to make something in our last episode, the thing that I made was I took my iPhone outside. I found some pretty flowers within like a block or two of my house, took the picture, and then opened it in ViscoCam, processed, and uploaded to Instagram. And it took all of like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. The technological barriers that we would have had a few years ago, a lot of those will come down if you know what you're doing, or if someone can advise you on the ways to get some of this stuff done easily. So yeah, it's pretty exciting to see what you can actually put out there.
And doing the everyday thing, this was one other point that we had in our quasi outline was like there are things that doing something every day will help you with, and we've talked about this before, Joe. I think it was the horse hoof guy, how like you drawing a horse hoof every day is not necessarily it was you drawing human eyes every day.
Right. Oh yeah. No, that's what it was exactly.
Doing the thing that you're really good at over and over and over again. There's some value in that, but really trying to stretch yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Being the point there.
And always, I think one of the points when I brought that up was just specifically when someone says, okay, try something, and you go with the thing that you know you can knock out of the park.
Right.
Rather than trying something that's you may completely bail on it. I mean, I have way more failures than successes at drawings. I just don't show you the failures.
That's the ticket.
That's the key.
Yeah. But so for you trying to learn Procreate, it probably wouldn't be all that helpful for you to find the one brush that you like and draw, even if it's not the same thing, but draw like the same basic things every day using exactly one layer and none of the features of Procreate. Because the point of this is I want to get better at Procreate.
Right.
And it's probably going to take more than 10 minutes a day. It's probably like, you could probably get somewhere with 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the other thing that's important, I think, as you're trying to grow is pushing yourself to learn. And like in Cinema 4D, what I've been learning the software really well. I haven't necessarily been learning composition and lighting, because a lot of that has been like, that's the last thing that I add after I do the clever concept or whatever it
is. Sure. Yeah.
And you know, it just takes so long to get everything set up so anyway, but composition and lighting is also a place that I'm relatively strong in coming from a photography background. So it's important to pick projects and gear that encourage you to actually do stuff and to learn and stretch yourself.
Indeed. Yeah. Because doing something easy and fast can be good. The fact of the matter is ultimately, hopefully, if you're doing like a daily creation, you're going to get bored with doing the stuff that you're good at.
Hopefully, yeah.
if you're putting on a show for people, then there's a chance that you won't. That you'll want to just do the best show that you can and impress everyone on Instagram who's following your dailies.
Which is a big temptation.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a big thing for me because I'm kind of a big deal on Instagram. I think I have over 100 followers.
I know we're kind of joking, but like,
no, it's a total temptation. It truly is.
Like I get, you know, best case scenario, I think I've gotten 60 likes on something once because I use hashtags on Instagram now. And you know, if you use the hashtags, people who are searching for that term, they'll find your thing and they'll like it or whatever. So best case scenario, once I got 60 likes, like that is an emotional high. And it's really easy to chase that to be like, oh, I was a smoke simulation. Like now I should do all smoke simulations. Like I am doing a lot with smoke simulations because I'm really weak there and I'm trying to learn the plugin. But like, the point is not learn how to manipulate Instagram to get likes. The point is learn the software.
Every day working on how to manipulate an audience.
I think they call that rhetoric.
I thought you were doing drawings. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, that's another big temptation with the everyday thing.
All right. So our Facebook is facebook.com/...
Are you going to make
20619437871793198_B.
Curious to see how long he goes.
It might have something to do with like Helvetic design.
I think it's actually, I think you're right.
It's like some crazy, crazy number. So just plug in numbers until you find ours.
You could go to helveticawebsite.com. We are trying to post more content there. But from there, you can get to our Facebook page. Everything's been pretty quiet. Hopefully in the next coming weeks, we'll be ramping things up there, especially with this episode coming out.
Yeah. So Helvetic, a website, and we've got links to all of our social stuff there.
Yep.
And some of our antisocial stuff too.
Like me.
There's a link to David. It's just a link that pokes him on Facebook and he goes, dang it. Because what's the point of a poke? That's such a
nice. I still have it too. I love that.
I know. It's so weird. It is truly weird.
All right. Feel free. We'd love to connect with you, have you connect with us, get your feedback. We do have a couple of voicemails. We're not going to play them this time, just because we spent a lot of time since the move. I hadn't set everything up really at all.
Yeah.
There was some of it set up. Like you'll notice we didn't have to plug power into the mixer. I got that going.
I don't think they'll notice that.
I mean, you. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about it as a conversation? and a journey.
So don't stop believing.
All right. We're going to skip recommendations unless you have something off the top of your head.
Nope.
Oh, I do have a quick recommendation. I've been trying to find what to do with my Apple Pencil for the longest time. I found, if you've ever seen a Moleskine, and if you're not, I don't know how you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it's weird. Seriously.
Without a Moleskine.
Yeah.
You know how they have the elastic band
it's
around
like when you have a mole and then, you know, it dies. You want to make a rug out of it.
A really small rug. More of a welcome mat. Or an unwelcome mat.
Mouse pad. Anyway. this is ridiculous. Anyway, Moleskine, you know, the
little elastic band that they have go around it. This is a, the little elastic band go around it. So this is an elastic band that goes around your iPad. Unfortunately, it kind of keeps the iPad from opening if you're using the smart cover. Mm. So you have to take it off. But on it is a little holster.
A little, pencil holster.
For your Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
And it's just a really convenient way. Obviously, if you're going to open the iPad, you would take this off first. But it's a really convenient way to carry around the Apple Pencil. Maybe. Let's do this live.
Whoa. It's live. This is exciting. Now, everyone, just I'm gonna put a poll on the screen.
That I put it on the this is it hard to do while
it
talking.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not gonna work. You know why? Because when you close the thing, yeah, because when it's, you'll have to switch it anyway. No, it's stupid. It's totally stupid.
What? Oh yeah, because then it won't go on. Yeah,
yeah.
Never mind. Suggested putting it on the smart cover instead of on the smart cover and the iPad.
Trust me, it was exciting to watch. So
both of us are.
There's no video of it, and you're only going to hear an audio part of this presentation. But we're definitely not cutting this from the episode because it's too good.
This is good radio right here. Radio gold. My dad says I have a face for radio.
Yeah.
All right.
He does.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
And now for a legal disclaimer.
David and I both work for Olive Tree, a division of HarperCollins Christian Publishers. We produce these podcasts for ourselves, not for our company, and the opinions we express in this podcast are our own opinions and not necessarily those of Olive Tree.